Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Ooh, I'm in a really awful mood today. Do you have like an awful breakdown of the social service system in London, England?
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I'm here with Jamie. I am John. How's it going, man?
Things are good. That's a very odd order you placed. You know, it's very specific.
Yeah, it is specific. And I think I did better on the ordering than I did the intro, but we're just going to roll with it.
No, it was really good. Got another crime story. This one brought to you by one of our 5-star reviews.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Baby P. Now, Jamie, I see your phone out. I'm going to need you to put that up because you're going to be super tempted to look at your phone during this episode.
This is usually, I mean, you said the word baby, and we're talking about a crime here in 10 minutes or less, and this is going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, if you've been listening for a long time, it's kind of a running joke that when things get really uncomfortable, Jamie pulls out the phone. It's already out, so yes. Let's go.
I'll put it up.
We're going to be talking about Peter Connolly, a.k.a. Baby P. Now, he was born on March 1st, 2006 in London, England. Peter's biological father was only involved for a few months of Peter's life before he split, and the mom, Tracy Connolly, was solely responsible for raising Peter. In November of 2006, Tracy moved in a man by the name of Stephen Barker, and they were dating. A month later, December in 2006, Baby P was taken to a doctor, and immediately the doctor was concerned about bruising that Baby P had. And the fact that Tracy's stories about how he got these bruises were just not adding up. And Jamie, I don't know if you're super familiar with social service investigations, but when a child is brought into a doctor and they see bruising and stuff that just doesn't make sense, they can actually send the child to a forensic doctor to try to figure out what exactly happened to the child just based on what they're looking at on the child's body.
I would think that would be any doctor would be a forensic doctor, but I guess they're more focused on like the actual cause and potentially tying in abuse.
Yeah, they have special training to be able to see, okay, this bruising looks like it happened by this object or by hitting in a certain direction. Okay. So it is a little specialized.
Yeah, I get that. Well, Baby P was sent to Whittington Hospital, where he would stay for 4 days. He was discharged and placed with a family friend while police and social workers continued to investigate the case and his family. Tracy and Baby P's grandmother were arrested on December 19th of 2006, and he would have an open case with the Haringey Child Protection Office. However, Baby P would return to his mother's care in January of the next year. At this time, she was living in a house in Tottingham, but social services were unaware that Parker had moved into this new home with her.
Yeah, and they should definitely know that. That should be something that is brought up or asked about. I mean, I know social workers who have even went into the mother's bedroom and looked in the closet to see if there are any men's clothing.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have the ability to do that. Listen, this next part is awful. So if you do not want to hear about serious child abuse, you may want to go ahead and stop this right now. Over an 8-month period, Baby P had multiple injuries that went unknown by social services. Some of those include a broken back, broken ribs, gashes to the head, a fractured shin bone, ripped ear, mutilated fingertips, skin torn from the nose and mouth, and cuts on the neck. And he actually was punched in the mouth so hard that it knocked a tooth out and the child choked on its own tooth. Now, he was often choked until he would turn blue and even was allowed to be attacked by a dog. The most disturbing fact about all this, if you're not completely devastated by now, is that social services visited the child 60 times during that span of 8 months. Baby P died due to his injuries on August 3rd, 2007.
For her role in Baby Peter's death, Tracy was given a sentence of imprisonment for public protection with a minimum term of 5 years. During the abuse of her son by Stephen, Tracy was often drunk or watching pornography. And surprisingly, Tracy was released from prison in 2013, but had to come back for breaking her parole. So to be clear here, she got out of prison after 5 years of service, after being a part of her son's death. She would go on to face the parole board again in 2015, 2017, 2019, but was officially released on March 30th of 2022, despite the Deputy Prime Minister and Justice Secretary being against her release. The final decision rested with the parole board, and they felt like it was time for Tracy to get out of prison. But of course, she didn't act alone in this. We know that Stephen Barker was involved, and his brother Jason Owen was arrested with him and given sentences for their role in baby Peter's abuse. Stephen, who is the ringleader of all this and initiated most of the abuse, was given a 12-year sentence and a 10-year sentence for a sexual abuse case of another 2-year-old female child. Owen was given a 3-year sentence, but that was later changed to a 6-year sentence for allowing the child to die.
All right, Jamie, I'm sorry that I brought this one to you, but it was recommended by a listener. So I guess the big takeaway from this story is, did social services drop the ball? And you all know that I am a social worker, and so part of me wants to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, maybe there were things going on that they just weren't aware of. But social services entered the home 60 times in 8 months. That's a lot of visits per month. This child was horribly tortured. Broken back, broken ribs, gashes to the head, skin ripped off his ear, mutilated fingertips, skin torn from his nose and mouth, cuts on the neck, tooth broken out. There is no way a social services worker laid their eyes on this child.
Yeah.
There is no way that this child looked okay during those visits. So I'm going on record by saying absolutely yes, this social worker dropped the ball and this child died because of a failure in the system.
I tried to find a way to argue the opposite point of that. I mean, if somebody has a broken back, fractured ribs, a shin bone, maybe you can't see that. Of course, they should be assessing the entire child and could see the bruising, but those things are at least under the skin. But all these other things should be so apparent when looking at the child and seeing what's happening. So this is an absolute disaster that should have been prevented.
Any good social worker is going to be completely devastated when something tragic happens to a child that they're responsible for supervising. And unfortunately, there are times when children do die in awful situations and you have done your job well. Just things happen that are outside of your control, and there's no warnings that you can look at that would make you predict it. But in this situation, it's really hard for me to say that they did everything they could have to keep this kid safe. I mean, he went home less than a month after being removed and was visited 60 times with all of these incidents. There's no way that it was all they could do.
I agree. This is absolutely brutal. So, John, I appreciate you doing the research here and not making me do that. But this has been True Crime to Go, a crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.